Are you more excited than you look this morning? Are you really fired up and ready to go, ready for God to do a great work in your heart? As Pastor mentioned, I'm Evangelist Mike Maynard. Been evangelism over 30 years. Before that, I was a church planter in Indiana. That's my home stomping grounds. Before that, of course, I was blessed to go to Bible college, married, couple kids. It's not been a real easy journey, but it's been a blessed one, to say the least. And I'm so thankful that God's allowed me to be in His work. And hopefully God will continue to use me for many more years to come. Now, I've got to state something here before I go any further. Pastor Endine and I aren't good for each other, okay? Pray for his wife. She will be a nervous wreck all week long. We have a tendency to bring out the stuff that maybe is not the stuff that needs to come out all the time. But I have never enjoyed a relationship, friendship, and just a co-service in Christ like I have with your pastor. I don't have to tell you how blessed you are to have this man, his wife, his family, to be a part of this ministry. You're very blessed people, and to God be the glory, great things He has done. Now, since I'm a newbie here, this is my first opportunity to be in this pulpit. Folks, I don't care if it's a church of 5 or 5,000. I always count it a privilege to be a part of a man's ministry such as this. I am married, have a wonderful wife. Her name is Shawn. We just got done through our second battle of COVID, so I'm healthy. Don't worry about it. We're not going to kiss and hug, but you know, I'm good in the neighborhood. I'm just not sure how much energy I have. If I just pass out during the message, just still do a good job in the offering as you go out, and you know, we'll just get together again tomorrow night. But I'm blessed with three children. My son, Nathan, of course, he and his wife live down in the Clearwater Beach area. He works for the Hoarder Shopping Network. That's Home Shopping Network, and been there for a lot of years. His wife just took a position. Sir, would you sit down, please? I'm trying to preach. Sir, thank you. Does he always do this, Pastor? Is he this way all the time? His wife just took a big high executive position with Mattress Firm and trying to revive that company. Then my next son, he's 42 years old and he's still single. Now, his code in life is this: I'm here to bless all the women with my presence. For you single guys, we know the code. That just means you can't find anybody to put up with you yet. That's just the reality of that scenario. And then my daughter, who is my favorite. Now, my son has blessed me with three wonderful grandchildren, my oldest son. But my daughter has blessed me with 9 children. Can I have an oh my from the ladies, please? Oh my. It is one hoot and a holler. I'm telling you right now, they span from 2 years old up to 18. And they just built us a house. They have like 60-some acres south of Greenville, South Carolina. So we're far enough away they can't jump over the fence. But they're close enough we can just eat it up as much as we want to. And I'm telling you, folks, I am one blessed, spoiled man. Now, the thing about their dad, he's a contractor. So they just finished up a house. And I'm telling you, from the 4-year-old up to the 18-year-old, they built our house. I mean, doing the tile work, the hardwood floors, the metal. I mean, whatever was done, they were all a part of that. And again, just thank the Lord for His goodness to us. We never, ever thought we'd have a brand new house. But we are very blessed from on high, to say the least. Now, my wife is just a very patient woman. She doesn't go out in public with me much. You'll understand that as our day goes on. But I hope you're ready for a blessing. Now, normally what I do in a new ministry, I would give my personal testimony. But as Pastor mentioned, I'm going to save that for the teens and as I do that ministry. Now, folks, listen to me. I know I look like I died 2 or 3 days ago, but I still enjoy preaching to teenagers. And just pray that God will help connect, you know, communicate, and really use our ministry to help those young people take their next step of right choosing, to be more like Jesus, to do more for Jesus. And that's the burden of my heart. And I just pray you'll be a part of what's going on as you pray for us every single day. Two shots a day. So I'm really excited for that opportunity. But again, it's exciting to be here. This is the message. Now, I know there's a rumor that we evangelists only have 7 messages. Folks, I've been doing this over 30 years. I have 8 messages, okay? And my dilemma and confusion about this particular morning is, which one of the 8 am I supposed to preach? You know, that's really not a question. I want to share my heart's burden with you. And this really reflects my burden as I go from church to church and ministry to ministry as far as local church is concerned. I'm a local church guy. You know, as a church planter, that prepared me for doing what I am doing even today. And I want folks to be blessed from on high and be a part of what God wants to do in them, but what God wants to set forth as far as His work through them. Folks, the burdened message here as far as my heart, and I said, God, if you'll let me go with this one, I'll be excited to preach this. But I'm going to preach from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you turn there, please, in your Bibles? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is going to be more of a topical message as far as the challenge here today. But I think you'll see here in this passage what I'm talking about as far as heart burden is concerned. You know, I've read all the surveys, I've seen all the stats, folks, and sad and sorry to say, more people sit than serve sacrificially for Jesus. Now, I don't know what category you fall into. I don't know how much you buy up as far as serving the King and King of Lord of Lords, but my heart burden is you won't miss out, okay? My heart's burden, you won't miss knowing my Jesus is your Savior. I mean, how many people over the years have I seen in fundamental churches like this come to know Jesus as personal Savior, even though they knew the Romans Road? Even though they loved God from head to toe, they didn't get saved till later on. And I'll give a testimony that direction even here today. But folks, again, why do people sit instead of serve? Why do people cheat themselves of, again, being a part of the wonderful will and working of Almighty God? What I'm going to show you in this passage, very clearly stated here, are 4 things that motivate the Apostle Paul to really get the job done that we're all here to get done to, again, please and honor the Lord Jesus. Now, I am getting old, and I never want to forget to do this, so I want to make sure we have a word of prayer. So would you bow your heads and hearts, please, and very specifically ask God to stir you up. Shake you up, wake you up, whatever needs to be done. But ask Him specifically to do a personal work in your heart today. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You now for this time, this opportunity. Lord, You know how heavy this is upon my heart. Lord, I just hate to see people get cheated. I just hate to see the cause of Christ be cheated. Because we get so distracted and deterred with the things of the world. And the Lord, we miss out. We miss out on faithfulness to serve You and bring glory and honor to Your name. Lord, please empower me this hour. God, give me strength. You know, I'm a little weary and well-doing after this COVID stuff. Give me strength from on high physically, but God, give me power to present this with clarity and through the Holy Spirit understanding on how, God, this is supposed to work and how it can work in every heart and every life here today. For those via live stream today, oh God, I pray they know You as personal Savior. Lord, as they have maybe just been directed by You today, no doubt, to hear how to go to heaven for all eternity. How to know for sure they're a child of the King. Oh God, save their soul today. But Lord, they too need to not hide behind COVID or behind the circumstances we're faced with, even in this very confused and messed up world around us. Lord, help us all to make decisions that are pleasing in Your sight. Lord, help us now as we look into this passage. Again, help us to be pleasing in Your sight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you note-taking people are going to love me today. Go down with me where it talks in verse... Look with me, please, down in verse 8, where it talks about a confidence of heaven. You know, folks, unless you know what team you're on, you're not going to get real active with that team. You know, I grew up a Hoosier hick, folks. It was always embarrassing to shoot at the wrong end of the basketball court. Y'all with me? But there are a lot of folks who profess to know Jesus who are at the wrong end of the court. Do you sure Do you sure know my, for sure know my Jesus as your personal Savior? Is it kind of a maybe guessing game, hope so? Or do you truly know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Savior? Look with me at this wonderful verse, and hopefully you've got this memorized. It says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You know, when I first started evangelism, you know, I just stepped out by faith and said, hey, I'm going to go do what God's called me to do. Well, I was picking up meetings wherever God would allow me to have meetings. And I happened to be in Nitro, West Virginia. Does anybody know where that is? You can't get there from here. There was a mutual friend of ours by the name of Bill Agerdahl preaching there at the time. And Bill was gracious enough to have this rookie evangelist come in and do a Wednesday night service. He didn't have enough faith to have me on Sunday, but he thought Wednesday would be a good opportunity to start us out here. So I get there on Wednesday. And I go in, and I had my, of course, traveling clothes on, and I'm looking for somewhere to put on my preaching clothes, you know. And this one guy, really zealous, handsome, good-looking, bald guy. Only spiritual people have a haircut like mine. I just want you to know that I'm concerned about you, sir. I really am, way too much hair. But what happened was, there's this guy came up and said, hey, come here, preacher. Go into this room, I'll guard the door. You know, I kind of watched this guy because he was lit. Y'all know what I mean by that? You know what I'm talking about? He was excited. Some of you old people got saved later in life. I have to clarify the terminology here. But what happened was, this guy was not just given the hospitality to me. He was that way to everybody that came into the building. Now, they were probably running about 150 on that Wednesday night service. Well, as we went into the auditorium, this guy's one of the ushers. You know, he's passing out the bulletin, the prayer bulletin and stuff. And the guy was, you can tell what a personality or a life in Christ is about during the handshake time. I do this all the time. I'm in a different church every week. There are some people that sit back there and go, come to me and I will bless you with my presence. That's wicked. Y'all with me here? That ain't right, you know? And this guy was like ricochet rabbit, ping, pong, ping. He was from one side of the auditorium to the other. He's shaking every arm off he could grab a hold of. And this guy, again, is excited. And it's Wednesday night, people! Well, what happened, we get to the offering, and this guy's doing all the work. He's just cheating everybody and serving Jesus. Well, what happened when I started preaching, this guy, now I get some varied responses. Some people just go, dare you to bump my meter, Bubba. You know, I'm not a meter bumper, okay? That's not my job. I'm just the messenger. But I get this one too a lot. Is this over yet? You know, so I get all kinds of different responses. Well, this guy was on the edge of his seat. Give me more, preacher. Come on, brother. Preach it. Oh, that dog go hunt. Shake that butt. I mean, he was one excited guy as the Word of God was set forth. Guess who was the first guy down on the invitation? This nutcase guy. Well, you know, after you get done with something like this, you get fed the spiritual riches from on high, then what do? You go pig out somewhere, okay? You go eat. That's just what we people do. Well, they had an ice cream fellowship, you know, all set up afterwards. Guess who was serving the ice cream? This same guy. Here comes this little well-upholstered child. Little fat kid. He comes up to the table and he said, more please. He's like building Mount Vesuvius here. And he had all this ice cream. Now, girls, I love you. I appreciate you. But why? Why do you buy the most wimpy styrofoam bowls known to mankind for an ice cream fellowship? Can I have an amen for the men, please? I mean, you can't get a man's portion in those. Okay. Well, what? Personal bitterness. Okay, so what happened was, this little kid, he goes to the fixing table. Y'all know what happened, don't you? He put on the sprinkles and the ketchup and the mustard and the relish. Whatever was there, he had it on the ice cream. He went from point A to point B. He lost the whole load. Guess who was there with the mop and bucket? This same guy! I leaned over to Pastor. I said, who is this masked man? He said, "Oh, Mike, you won't get to know this guy. He's one fired up guy for the cause of Christ." I said, "No kidding." Well, the next day we went out to this restaurant, and I could care less about breakfast at that point. I wanted to hear what made this man tick. I said, "Have you always been this excited for the cause of Christ?" He said, "No, it happened about a year ago." I said, "Well, what happened a year ago?" He said, "Well, let me say this. I've been a deacon, Sunday school teacher. I've gone to church, a fundamental church, all my life." I said, "Again, have you been this lit, this excited for Jesus?" That's what happened to you. He says, "I got saved." Now, this guy's in his mid-40s. This guy's no rookie as far as life's concerned. I said, "What brought that about?" He said, "Well, I was at the meeting." If you're right with God, you're at the meeting. You know, if you're right with God, you're there when the doors are open or closed. He said, "That was just our whole life." I said, "Well, where did it come to a point you realized you're a sinner and need a Savior?" "Just in the midst of a challenge from God's Word." Holy Spirit of God said, "Liar, hypocrite, you profess to know me. You're out there busy in my name, but you have never repented of your sin and received Jesus as your Savior." I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I went home and got saved. I knew the Romans Road. I was out on visitation every Thursday. I went on bus visitation. I was busy for the things of Christ." But what was he missing, folks? A confident, personal, biblical relationship with Jesus. Folks, I don't want you to be a professional professor of Jesus. I want you to know my Jesus as your personal Savior. Is there evidence? Is there fruit? Because when you're a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Are you a soul winner? No. Are you discipling anybody? No. Are you faithful to the will and working of God? No, you're not. Maybe bottom line problem is, you know who Jesus is, but you don't know Him as your personal Savior. Folks, nothing that I know will motivate you unto faithfulness like a personal, confident, biblical relationship with Jesus. I got to keep moving. They told me where the clock is. Look down with me at verse 9. The second is a concern to please Christ. Folks, we do what we want to do most of the time when we want to do it right. Why shouldn't we want to serve, please, and honor God? Look down with me at verse 9. It says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Now, I failed to mention to you, I've got a secondary ministry. Have you ever heard a guy by the name Patch a Pirate? Anybody know that guy? My dear old friend Ron Hamilton, not in real good shape to say the least. But I've had the privilege for years of writing songs for Majesty Music. And Tim Fisher's one of my sidekicks. He's been in music ministry for a long time. But you know what? I wrote a song called "You're Already Caught." If you're a Patch fan, you'll know this. "God is always looking and you're already caught. God is always there, so do just what you ought." MikeMaynerMusic.com. Okay, so again, folks, please buy the material. Thank you. Commercial. No. But folks, listen, you show who you're concerned to please by the choices you make. But do you understand? God gives an accounting. That God knows good, bad, and ugly choices we choose on purpose to be a part of. Folks, look down at verse 10 if this is not convicting enough. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he's done, whether it be good or bad." You're already caught. God knows what you're watching. He knows what you're listening to. He knows what you choose to be a part of, even though you are the temple of God, to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He knows that. You still don't have a concern to please God more than gratify that rotten old flesh you're parked in. You love yourself way too much like the rest of us. And folks, it's showing up in the choices that we make. Folks, haven't we been exposed or revealed as such during COVID? You know, the folks that were kind of, you know, part-time are nowhere to be found. Some of the folks who used to be full-time for Jesus, they've become part-time. And it seems as though we've used the world and circumstances as an excuse to do more of our thing than buy up the privileged opportunities to serve Jesus even in a more abundant and blessed fashion. Folks, there are still people who need to know Jesus and they need to hear about Him from you. There are still people out there floundering, clueless on how to live for Jesus, and that's supposed to be the responsibility fulfillment that you buy up as a discipler teaching faithful men to teach faithful men to teach faithful. Well, I didn't go to the seminary. What's that got to do with you being faithful in the call that God's placed upon your life? Yeah, get more equipping. Learn more so you can be better and do more for Him. But don't let anything keep you from teaching now what you know. Learning more and teaching more and be faithful. And be more concerned about pleasing Jesus than gratifying that rotten flesh you parked in. Let's keep going. First of all, a confidence of heaven. You got it down in your notes? Secondly, a concern to please Christ. Let me say this before I don't want to forget this. There is another judgment seat. Do you all remember that? The great white throne judgment for people that reject Jesus as personal Savior. You don't want to go there and do that. Because with a broken heart, Jesus will say, because of your choosing, depart from me, I never knew you. But folks, as believers, we're going to stand before the Bema and give an account of the choices we make. Let me keep going here quickly. Go down to verse 14, if you would, please. It deals with a constraint of love. A constraint of love. It says here, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, let me give just a quick explanation of the contrast between verse 9 and verse 14. In verse 9, Paul's talking about his depth or degree of devotion unto Jesus. Here he's again reflecting his understanding and awakening to Jesus' love and devotion unto Him. He's basically saying, Jesus, oh, how you love me in a perfect way. You came down from a place called heaven. You took on the form of man. You were beat, you were mocked, you were scorned, you were nailed to the old rugged cross. You died. You were buried, you rose again the third day, and you did that for me. The least I can do is give my all and best for you while I'm here on this earth. Why aren't most people, and folks, I'm telling you, most aren't, motivated by a constraint of love? The understanding of how much Jesus truly loves them. I don't think they know Him like they're supposed to know Him. Most people don't read their Bibles. Most people don't study to show themselves approved unto God. Well, no wonder we're shallow in our understanding of how much Jesus loves even me. You know, for no other decision today, I want to challenge especially men to come to this altar and say, oh God, help me to know Jesus better and more every single day. Oh Jesus, please help me be motivated by a depth of understanding, a reality and awakening of Jesus, how much You love even me. And folks, none of us deserve that love. But aren't you thankful that Jesus loves even you? Folks, get to know my Jesus. The more you get to know Him, the more you'll find out His love is perfect. His care is beyond comparison. And Jesus loves even you. Now let me go to the last one. Don't get excited. It's not a quick closer. Look now, you know, hey, we're going to go down. Let's get the breath mints out. Let's zip up the Bible. Don't do that yet. Look down with me at verse 20 here, where it talks about our calling. I've done this a lot of years, folks. I know how the program works. But who in the world is called to the ministry of Jesus Christ? All of us. All of us. But you seem to think you're not important to the will and working of God. Can I help you with that? You're just as important to the cause of Christ as anybody else. And when you don't fulfill your calling given from on high, guess what? Your job's not getting done the way it's supposed to get done. Well, that's my personality. We'll be dead to self. Well, I'm just not real secure in that. Well, learn more, do it more, and become more bold and confident through the power and wherewith of God. Do you understand, folks, God never orders up anything for your life that He won't in turn give you what it takes to be faithful? Does that just bless the socks off of your feet like it does mine? God will never order up anything in your life that He won't in turn give you what it takes to be faithful. And that even is again involved in this call of ambassadorship. This call of ministry that God has entrusted unto us. Look at verse 20. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." And here's the exciting thing. He gives you the compassion. Isn't that the shed of the love of God abroad in your heart stuff? He'll help you love in a godly way, unconditionally, sacrificially. He gives you the capability, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, guess what? God will give you the stuff as such to be faithful. But there's a C word missing here. Not just in understanding, but I think in life commitment. And it is the word commitment. It's that, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, what else can I do for you? How much more, God, can you again use me to bring glory and honor to your name?" You know, folks, I don't like it when I'm sick. I don't like it when God, again, sets me aside. But some people seem to think that's the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to them. How can you live with yourself as such? How can you justify an empty score sheet? How can you put yourself, again, with peace or contentment in your heart that you're sidelined in the category of motivated to unfaithfulness instead of faithfulness? Well, folks, Jesus saved us and called us with a holy calling. I mean, you can go to chapter 4. It says down in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry and receive mercy," don't quit. Folks, can I tell you, folks have thrown in the towel. Folks, again, have thrown themselves more to a category of, again, going on for the devil instead of going on faithfully for the will and working of God. And that's not a right choice. Where do you fit? What's the testimony that sets forth from your life that belongs to Jesus? Let me review and I'll be done. First of all, how can I get it done for Jesus, Brother Mayor? Well, make sure you're a part of the family of God. Make sure today, whether you're watching live stream or you're here in this auditorium, if you're not confident, absent from the body present with the Lord, well, come and get saved. That's why your wife is running circles around you, husband. That's maybe why, hey, wives, your husband is excited for God and you're just flat as pancake. You have all the right answers to maybe shut people up, have them hear what you know they are looking to hear. But something's not right and something's missing. And here it could be a confident, personal, biblical relationship with Jesus. Secondly, who are you here to please? A concern to please Christ. It's going to show up in your schedule, won't it? It's going to show up in what you involve yourself with. Isn't it amazing how we get so wrapped up in everything but that which is best? And folks, that which is best is always the will and the working of God. So, a confidence of heaven, concern to please Christ, and then folks, being motivated by a constraint of love. What is that again? Understanding how much Jesus loves you. Not just what He has done, but what He's doing on your behalf, folks. That should light you up. That should excite you to be more of a volunteer for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you've done so much for me. The least I can do is give my all and best for you till you take me home for all eternity. And then, folks, let's just get the job done. Fulfill faithfully that call that God has entrusted to us. Remember, He'll give you the goods. Through the power and working of the Holy Spirit, He'll give you the compassion, the capability. We just got to come to the point of saying, "No flesh," and "Yes, God," and be that volunteer for Jesus that's so lacking in most local churches today. You want to know my heart's burden, folks? It's this. I don't want you to get cheated. I want you to miss a blessed opportunity of serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it's a choice. either to do or not to do, to say yes or no, or simply say, Lord, help me through your power be motivated unto faithfulness. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. The altar's open. I kind of checked out to see how this is done and how you're used to doing it. So our song leader is going to come and direct us in a hymn of invitation. We're going to have folks standing and the altar's open. You can either go forward or backward in this church. What a wonderful opportunity. But respond when God gives you a conviction to respond. If you need to get saved, I'd make a beeline to one of these pastors or one of these folks who are available to help you nail it down as far as your eternity is concerned. But if you need to respond, just come and sit at the, sit at the front. If you can't kneel, just park on one of these seats. But don't miss another blessed privilege of worship in this thing called an invitation. It's got kind of passé in a lot of places. Like no big deal. Folks, this is just as important of worship as anything we've done thus far. God has knocked on your heart's door joyously, quickly, thankfully. Respond to the work of God in your heart here this morning. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed?